Well, throughout Krishna consciousness, there is the real thing, and there is the shadow of the thing. It's like on a sunny day. The sun also illuminates the real thing. When you go outside, the sun illuminates your presence there. You will be seen very nicely. But it throws a shadow next to you, which is not the real you. You see. So with the holy name of Krishna, also these other things come. With the holy name of Krishna, all the bad things in your heart, they are also flourishing and watering. Watering and flourishing. The holy name, what happens when you water the garden? What? All the weeds don't drink any of it? They all just wrinkle up and die and the tomatoes grow? No. In fact, what happens? The weeds grow faster than the plant. So it is said that the holy name of Krishna is the watering process. But this watering also nurtures the weeds. So the gardener has to weed the garden. You have to identify within yourself those things which are undesirable. Or if you have a problem, you ask those who are sitting next to you. What's, desirable and undesirable? You take help from others. What's desirable and undesirable? But ultimately, you have to see these things yourself. And then you have to remove those things. You have to eliminate them. You have to weed out the anarthas, the unwanted things, in order for your devotional creeper to properly grow. And that process is the class. It is said that the process of weeding the anarthas is this hearing, this critical point of hearing. Now, for the highest devotees, just to hear the lila of Krishna, there is considered to be anarthas right up to bhava, just prior to prema. There are some anarthas. Those anarthas, types of anarthas, can Krishna really do anything he wants with you? Like, cut your head off? Are you ready for that even? No, I mean, anything means I'll take Rasgulla or Sandesh, but not, not really. I mean, he wouldn't do that, would he? Not really. Well, Krishna was ready to lie down in a bed of arrows, or so many things. No, we don't expect that, that's going to happen, but real sacrifice? Are we really? Mahaprabhu says, you are free to do everything and anything with me. And he means it. Do we mean it? No. But we're on the right path. So, in the highest stage, just hearing the sweet pastimes of Krishna removes those last small teensy-weensy barriers between the jiva and Krishna. They are removed. But in the beginning, just those sweet pastimes of Krishna don't root out those big, deep-rooted, carrot-sized anarthas, or carrot-sized, banyan tree-sized anarthas in the heart. That doesn't do it. That doesn't do it. Rather, the sweet pastimes of Krishna make those trees grow deeper and so forth. Therefore, those who are still swayed more by anarthas should not entertain the ear with the at least the intimate pastimes of Krishna, Madhurya pastimes. Killing the demons, that's a good one. Krishna's cutting off the heads of demons. Those demons represent anarthas. So it is beneficial for that. So those pastimes. Bhagavad Gita is a pastime. It's a lila. People want to hear lila of the Lord. Well, hear what the Lord had to say when he finally got everybody's attention. In this world. We're not in Vrindavan. We're in this world, and this is the lila, Bhagavad Gita. We may get a grand shadow of the real thing, and Srila Sharamaras has written, and the inspiration to dance with that shadow. Actually, he didn't say dance with the shadow. He said inspiration to live in the fool's paradise. So I say the inspiration to dance with the shadow. You want to dance with the shadow? You want to dance with the princess, not with the shadow. But if you do not approach in the right way, then you only get the reflection, not the real thing. Like there was this one Mughal emperor, he besieged a fort called Chittor in Rajasthan, southern Rajasthan, Mewar. He
and then to release the siege, he wanted to see the beauty of Padmini. Padmini was the queen, and in medieval history, and such up to this day, at least by legend, she was the most beautiful woman ever to have been born in the mortal India, you see. This is not including gopis and Radharani, but it's really amongst mortals, the most beautiful queen ever to come out of India. So this Mughal emperor wanted to see Padmini. So this, of course, was unacceptable to the people. All they had to do was let this Mughal ruffian and his giant armies see Padmini. Not naked, just see the queen. And he would draw his armies back. But they couldn't live with that. That the eyes of this filthy monster will fall upon the chaste beauty of their queen. But they were in a difficult situation. So they decided to do that. So they set up a series of mirrors. It wasn't just one mirror. It was like 20 or 30 mirrors, large mirrors, reflection. And Padmini was way off in another room, and the reflection of her sitting in a chair came all the way to this one mirror, and that barbarian was allowed to see that mirror. And because he saw Padmini, and he had to withdraw his armies. That was the deal. See? So, at the same time, the chastity of Padmini and the dignity of Padmini is preserved. Right? So he got the shadow. Also, Ravana. He never touched Sita. He never even saw Sita. He only heard how beautiful she was. He wanted to capture her. By the time he got there, Maya Sita was waiting. The real Sita was living in the ashram of Agni. And Maya Sita means a material form of Sita was sitting there, and Ravana captured Maya Sita and took her off to his palace and all this, and he never even saw the real Sita. Maya Sita, shadow. The holy name of Krishna has got a shadow also. All devotional things have a shadow. In other words, that's the bait for the barking dogs. Okay? That is thrown to those who are not really qualified. You see, if you want to distract the dog, you throw in a bone over here, and he goes there, and he's satisfied. Mystic power is one of those such bones to throw the dogs. So those who are not really devoted to Krishna, but play in the field of devotion, they get shadow Krishna, shadow Nam, shadow Leela, shadow Bhav, shadow Prema, shadow Bliss. They get the shadow of all these things, and the inspiration that these things are real. Of course, you wouldn't want the dog to figure it out that it wasn't a real thing, right? You want to give him a taste over there, so he'd just stay out of the real way, right? And that's what Krishna does. So what will save us is our sincerity above all. Our sincerity will be our guide. Our sincerity, and then with our sincerity we'll learn properly what is real devotion, proper discrimination will come, and we will be able to save ourselves from so many unwanted things that are there in the world. Some people, young little Vaishnavas, they can't even discriminate. You know, cigarette smoking isn't good. Out in Los Angeles, big cities, New York, or the speed of marijuana, other drugs, premarital relationship, they can't discriminate anything. So you're not born a Vaishnava. It is not possible. You're not born a Vaishnava anymore, and you're born a doctor. You may be born in a doctor's family. Mom and dad might be doctors. Dad might be, you know, even showing you how to do surgery or something. But you're not a doctor until you're a proven doctor by the bona fide and authorized standards. Until you've actually learned. So, no one is born a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are born, of course, but it's by their activities that they are Vaishnava, not by just their birth. You can be born into wealth, and that is your wealth, but you cannot be born into this, actually. But it is said that if you are fortunate in your previous lives, then you will be born in the family of devotees, and you will be given the opportunity from your very birth of eating prasadam, hearing the holy name of Krishna, different things like this. But obviously, if this reality is reality, you look around and there's thousands of Hare Krishna kids over the years. Some of them aren't even vegetarians anymore. So obviously, they weren't born devotees. See, they were born in the family of devotees and an opportunity to become devotees. So, whether we were born there, whether we were not born there, God knows our heart better than we ourselves. But we must come to understand ourselves also. Not just say, well, he knows. He knows. But do you know? Do you know what's in your heart? Are you truthful with your own self? Some people are very truthful in the world, but they're liars to themselves. They're just self-deceivers, you see. So Sri Ramara said, save yourself. Do not become a self-deceiver. He was talking to the devotees who had joined the movement, who had become Prabhupada's disciples, and they had sacrificed so much. Family wealth, education, opportunity, their youth. They had sacrificed that. The thing that's fun when you're 16 or 17, wow. When you cross that legal age, you can do whatever you want. When you're a certain age, you can walk, talk, do your stuff, whatever you want. The teens, this is teeny bop stuff. Freedom begins in your 20s. That's when you can really party. That's when you can really rock and roll. And that's when all these people surrendered their lives at the feet of Srila Prabhupada and became Krishna's servants. Big sacrifice. Then later, when they reached their 40s, they started backpedaling there. And he was saying, save yourself. Don't be a self-deceiver. Don't forget that for which you have come. You've come to do good to yourself and good to the world. Now midstream, don't turn around and go back the other way. Don't forget why you have come here. You know, you see this in movies a lot. It's a type of a plot. They lose the plot. It's like, you know, what's this all about? Why are we fighting this war? What, you know, what is this? You know, recently we saw there was a gentleman, he was with this, something like the CIA, and this is a noble thing to protect the country, and this whole thing was going down, and some man has got to die unnecessarily, and the whole thing, and it boiled down to, and this man was saying, what's it about? What's this really all about? In other words, you know, there was an ideal, you know, there was a constitution, there was a way of living, we did this because of something, what's it come down to? And he said, toasters, man, toasters. Economics, arrangements with China. Few people got to die, but cheaper toasters. The economy goes on. You know, they lose the plot. It's true. It's true. It's what's going on. Even right now, as we talk, what's the plot? This thing is not over September 11. What we're gonna probably all live to the end to see a big chunk of it. And surely, all you young people are gonna see it play out. What it really was that started. Not just started that day, but really got in everybody's face. Now people want to forget about it. Well, it's over now. It's summer. We're going to party. We're going to putt-putt golf. We're going to the great state. In fact, you can get season tickets now. For half price. I'm telling you, that's not what Al-Qaeda's doing. That's what Hamas is doing. That's not what over a half a dozen bloodthirsty militant Islamic groups are doing. They are planning how to kill you, my dear. Kill your family and annihilate you from the face of this earth. That is their plan. And that's what they do day and night and day and night. But we want to go back, we the big Americans, we just want to go back to business as usual, party as usual. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Even to get back to that business as usual, thousands and thousands will lose their lives. Thousands. So, as Jayadev said, it's probably not coming directly to Vermont, but when you drive through Pulteney, you ever drive through Pulteney? Is it Pulteney? Wells? No. It's Raleigh on Route 7. There's this little park, and there's this one always catches my eye. There's this dead guy laying there. He's the fallen Vietnam vet. And all through the park, going back to World War I, are these placards for the Rutlanders who died. So it does come to Vermont one way or the other. When there's world crisis, when there's world war, when there's conflicts, it goes everywhere. No one is spared, actually. It goes everywhere. So, of course, we're not militants, you see. But I'll just make an example about that.
Terrorists and And then come disrupt about the glories going midway and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's just like, you know, a lot of people are like, okay, it's over, it's over. It's not over. You have to go the whole nine yards. You have to carry this out. It's a lifetime pursuit. Madhyam Adhikari is the bulk of your life. What is Paramahansa? You will not taste that until your mature age, not just in material age, but age in Krishna consciousness also. And some of you think like, gee, Christianity is so easy. You just accept the blood of Jesus and you're home. You're free. If you think it is so cheap, well, try that route. Go ahead, give it a go. They say, well, we're vegetarians. We don't accept the blood of anybody. We don't eat human beings. We don't eat the body of Jesus. We follow his advices. Love God. That's a lifetime occupation. If marriage is supposed to be a lifetime occupation, what does it mean, loving God? How did you get off the hook? Because you spent a weekend at the ashram, or a year or two, or 5 years. For 10 years or 20 years loving God, now you're off the hook. You know, I loved God, now it's my turn. No, it's for life. It's more than marriage. It's more than anything. It's more than sannyas. It's more than anything. It's all for life. And the price you pay, you're being offered hundreds of trillions of billions of dollars. And you're being asked, could you just give 0.1%? Or even 1/10 of that? Could you do that? Could you show us? Like somebody, you say, well, why don't you want to do it? And they go, well, there's lots of reasons. And you go, well, give me one. And they can't say anything. And I thought you said there was lots of them. Just give one of those. So that's all that's required. Can you do just this little bitty lifetime, which is, I heard something Govardhan was saying to in class the other day. When you're young, it's like, whoa, man, I've been here 14 years. I'm wise. You know, 18 is like, I know what it's about. And the time is so long. God, and every time I meet a little 6 or 7 year old, I go, how old are you? And they go, 10. I go, whoa, it's a long time, huh? They're like, yeah, 10 years, you know. And then it's just like, they just start clicking by. These 10s are like 2s, you know. They just go by like... It seems like, you know, Vishnu Maharaj is going to cross over 60 next year. 60. I remember when we had a birthday party for me and I crossed 50. And it was just like 3 more years and I crossed 60. So, wait a minute, I can practically remember the conversations on that day back in Washington, right? But, you know, most of you kids were still playing, you know, cross-board Monopoly or something. That was the thrill of the weekend. Stay up late and play Monopoly. Now Monopoly is... When's the last time you played Monopoly?
19.
Yeah, see, Monopoly, where's Monopoly? You know, we used to play that whole week Monopoly marathons. You know, you combine the money and everything from like 3 or 4 boards and just go all weekend or something. That's Monopoly. You know, that's a big thrill then. You know, there's a lot of things in life you go on. Life is very short. And most of us don't reach to be 100. Vishnu Maharaj will live to be 100 or more, but most of us, you know, it's like most people think in their mind, 80, you know, when you're 50, it's like, wow, you know, it's too early, you know. 60, oh, yeah, I just got going, you know. Like, well, 70, you're kind of slowing down. Okay, and 80, yeah, you think, yeah, if you live to be 80, no problem, document, right? No problem. You live to be 80. You get to be 80, kid, you want to live as much as you did when you were 6 years old. Nobody wants to die. Nobody. Unless they get suffering and in pain. And but average, most people just want to live. That's the nature of the soul. We want to live. Nobody wants to die at any time. Really. Even these suicide bombs, they don't really want to die. They're just so pissed off and fried that this is the only thing they can think to do to get back at the other guy. They don't want to die. They want to live. They want to live with their friends, their family. What is that? Love. They want to live where there is love. They want to live where there's peace, but they lose the plot. And fighting becomes the way of life. They're just born in war, they live in war, they die in war, and they're forgetting what they're fighting for. Then when they get it, they should often become mercenaries and go somewhere else and fight. They lose the plot along the way. So don't let that happen to you. Don't lose the plot along the way. What is this life? What have you come to? Why are you here? I'm particularly speaking to the adults. The youth, you make your own decision. It's coming. Like I said before, you will put up the picture of Krishna or not. Be your call, not mine. Mom might give you one as a wedding present or something, but it's your call whether you're going to put it out, what you're going to do. No one's going to come rooting through your house, see what you're doing, make sure you did you offer your apple pies or whatever. Your call. Then real bhakti begins. That's real bhakti.